Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Today I want to talk to you about image. Because it's important to some people. And some people that say, I don't care, then I would like to encourage you to stop lying to yourself, man. Everybody care about something. And whether, you know, you're like that person says, I don't care. I woke up like this. Or you're the person that, like, spends all that time making sure your eyebrows are beautiful. You know, just absolutely phenomenal. You know, you just can't wait one day to get them tattooed on your face so they're always perfect. You know, either way, you know, we care about those things because I think that's just kind of a lot of, I think it's one of the things that put inside of us. But image is pretty important. Now, I'm not talking about, like, going overboard. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not talking about, like, it's the most important thing. But, see, image is everything because a part of that is how you show yourself to the world, right? Like, the way you show up kind of shows the things that are important to you. You know, I mean, if there's something really important, then you'd probably want to wear your best, right? I mean, whether your best is like, you know, creased Dickies and a white T-shirt, or your best is like a tuxedo, right? You think about that thing. For things that are really important to you, you show up wanting to look your best. You know, if you want to impress somebody, you'll shower, put on a little extra deodorant, whatever the case is. You know, you want to present an image because it represents you. So in the same way, you know, God has an image that he wants to represent. You know, God wants good PR. God wants people to think a certain thing about him because God wants people to know the truth about him. Let me back up here. Let me ask you a big question here. Let me ask you this. Why did God make you? I know this is like one of those like 4-year-old questions that kids ask that nobody knows how to answer. Like, I remember my son asked me the other day, he's like, Dad, why did God make me? I was like, you're 5, and I don't even know how to answer that question to you. Or like, why am I here? What is the meaning of life? I mean, besides 42, what is the meaning of life, right? Like, those are those big questions that, like people say all the time. I've even heard cartoons make fun of them and stuff. And that's a pretty tough question, right? That's a pretty tough question. I mean, if I was to ask you, wait, let me just ask you, why are you here? Because of church? No, not why is your butt in that chair? Like, your butt's in that chair because you don't want to stand the entire time, right? I mean, why did God put you on earth? Why did God make you? Why? Like, why did God make anybody? To have friends? All right, I'll take that answer. To minister his word? Okay, so then people were created to minister God's word. That's why God put Adam and Eve in a garden. What? That's a hard question, right? So that's pretty important because, like, that's, like, one of those questions that determines, like, how you get up in the morning, right? That's, like, what you do and why you go to school. People think that, like that question determines what kind of major you'll get in college one day if you go to college, right? Like, that question will determine whether or not one day you want a family, probably. Like, why? Why am I here? Because if you don't know the answer, then you'll make up an answer, right? That's what you do on tests. Right? Multiple choice questions. A, B, C, C, D? A. No. B. Right? You just start answering stuff. Or you just take guesses. When you don't know the answer, you just fill in the blanks. So the problem is with a question like that is, what happens when you start filling in the blanks? You could get that answer wrong. And that's a pretty darn important question. Right? Okay, then let me jump to another spot here. Okay. I'd like you to know that everybody in this room, and I would even venture to say, all the people that didn't show up, you're important, right? Like, you're an important person, right? I mean, the chances that you are here in this world is pretty darn amazing. It's amazing that you're here. It's amazing that you survived. It's amazing that you are able to stand and breathe this air. It is a miracle. It is not usual. I mean, there's billions and trillions of planets in all of creation, and here you are on this little speck of dirt and water. It's not even in the center of the universe, somewhere off to the left, a little farther in the back, in the Milky Way, in the solar system, onto planet Earth, in North America on the left coast. That you are here in San Bernardino, of all places, right? Could have been L.A. or New York, but no, you're here in San Bernardino, the center of the universe. And you're here. You're pretty stinking important. And God knows your name so much that he counts all the hairs on your head. And he knows the difference between the ones that you started off the day with and the ones that you're going to end the day with. God knows the depths of your heart. He knows the things that you won't tell any of your best friends. And above all that, he still likes you. You. He likes you. Like, that's crazy. You're pretty important. Now, don't let it get to your head or anything. So why the heck are you here on Earth? And if that's all this, then why is image so important? See, the past couple weeks, we've been talking about this hustle thing, you know, like working hard, which people probably like don't like and stuff, but God wants to bless you, and God wants your life to be full and happy and joyous and all this kind of jazz, you know, and God gave you a job and a task and all this kind of stuff. And so let's take it all back to the beginning. For some reason in the Bible, I have a problem. I just like to end up back in the garden. I don't know what it is, but Genesis, the first part of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, always gets me. So we got to go back there. Let's go back to Genesis 1. If you don't know where it is, look for page 1, okay? And then flip a couple to the right. Then you'll be good. You'll be good. Easy to find. Easy place to start. So when I talk to people, a lot of times people say the reason people were made was to worship God. Like, that sounds like a good answer, right? Like, that sounds like a solid, legit answer. We were made to worship God, right? I think there's like a song or something that I've heard Pastor Joe sing about it too. I don't know, right? I mean, anything he sings, though, it's like him and Mariah, they're right up there at the top. So, and I think it's a good answer, but I don't think it's the whole answer. Because I look at people like me, and I can't sing. So it's like, God, if I'm supposed to worship you, then you could have helped a brother out right here. You know what I'm saying? So it's got to be more. Let's go back to the start. Because at the start, that's when everything worked right, right? That's when everything was the way it was supposed to be. Genesis 1. Let's go like verse 26 or something like that. Okay, so because, and if you look in the middle of the Bible, everything's jacked up. If you've ever actually read the Bible, there's like a lot of crazy things. I don't think the Bible would be rated G if it was a movie. So there's a lot of crazy things. And if you look at like the Jesus time of the Bible, super jacked up. People are crazy. But if you go at the very, 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 very beginning, you find this is the way things are supposed to be. This is the way things are, like, right. So how does God start this whole deal? Oh, cool, it is 126. So God says this. God takes, you know, 5-6 days and makes everything, right? Poof, there it is. Poof, there it is. Whew, there it is. Well, he rested on the seventh day, so he wasn't, like, making nothing. So he's just like chilling and enjoying everything, like, yeah, porpoises and stuff. So, but he was enjoying it. He worked for 6 days making everything happen, just poof, 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 you know. And then here we go to like the crowning moment. God's like, I saved the best for last. Whoa, people. And God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, whole shebang is right there. And once I get there in my Bible, I can read it to you. Unless I read what's behind me up the screen. He says this. God says, so in verse 26, he says, God says, let's make man in our image. Let's make man in our likeness. God's got an image. And he wants to make us like it. Right? So he says, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. And let's do this. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds, the heavens, the livestock, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So now this poem breaks out, right? And the poem goes, so God created man in his own image. Now, it doesn't rhyme, but it because that's, it does, poetry's weird over here. But so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, so both men and women, are made in the image of God. He created them. So what happened next? So God blessed them. And God talked to them and said, guys, here's what we need you to do. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you're going to have them for food. Unfortunately, I did not see any hamburgers in there, but I'm sure God's going to fix that in a little bit. But he gave everybody a vegetarian meal, whatever. Don't trip, though, because I still like to eat some meat. So we're cool. And in heaven, you don't have to be a vegetarian either, so it's cool. Calorie system works different up there, I think. So God does this. And this is the way God starts everything off. You might have to think a little bit in this message. Let me help you out here. Let's work this one out, because I think we're gonna go. So looking at that, what do you see there that says what we're supposed to be? Now, we're created in God's image, right? That's what it says, in his likeness. But what does that mean? Right? Like, sometimes preachers say things and they just expect you to get it. Like, oh, yeah, that's right, Pastor. You start waving a hanky. But what does that mean? Like people say all the time, you're made in God's image. You're made in God's image. Look at you. You're. But what does that mean? What does it mean to be made in God's image? That he's like, that you guys, that you're like, that he's like you. To his liking. So then God likes you because you're in his image. Right? Does anybody else have any, like that's an important question, because it's like the first thing God really says about us is we're made in his image, so that he likes us. Well, I would agree that God likes us so much that he died for us, right? So God likes us, but is that what it means to be made in his image? Right? Is that what it means? Does it mean that, like, if we took a picture of everybody in this room and then we took all your face pictures and did that weird thing where they put them all together, God would look like that? Does that what it mean? Is that what it means? No? You don't think that's what it means? Like, so then what is it? What the heck does it mean? Because that's pretty darn important. So here, God says, like you said, I like you. He uses the word likeness. You're going to be like me. So then that means that you're valuable, right? Everybody in this room has value. And this is crazy, because what have Adam and Eve done so far? Nothing. Adam and Eve didn't do anything. They haven't built anything. They haven't named any animals. They haven't gotten in a fight. Adam and Eve have done absolutely nothing. And God said, you look like me. God said, you are in my image. You're like my likeness. So already God gave them value and they didn't do anything. So if you ever feel worthless, you need to stop. Because what happens is we make a mistake, you get in a fight, or somebody calls you a name, and we think, oh, life sucks, I hate myself. No, stop it. Because you are made in God's image, and God put value in you before you did anything. If all you did is you sat on a couch and played video games and watched Netflix and ate macaroni and cheese for the rest of your life, it would be kind of sad. And probably a little too cheesy. But you would still be value, because your value doesn't come from what you do. Your value comes from who God made you to be. You can never lose your value, and you can never be devalued. Why? Because the things you do not determine your value. God determines your value. So that means that you don't do things to make yourself more valuable. You are no more valuable if you become a doctor. that doesn't make you any special, any better, any greater than anybody else, or it doesn't even make you greater than you were before. You getting A's in school is not going to make you a better person. It's not. You going from JV to varsity, you going from no boyfriend to a boyfriend, is not going to make you any better. Because you've already been given value. You don't need to do anything to get value because God's already given it to you. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. That's what he did with you. But because you have value, the things you do are all of a sudden valuable. Everything you do is valuable. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? It means that in your life, you've been given the job to reflect him. You've been given the job to reflect God. That's what it means. That's what an image is, right? Like if you look in a mirror, what's in front of you? A reflection, an image of you, right? Your job is to reflect God. That's what it means to be made in his image. So when the giraffe started looking at Adam, like, who is this? Dude look like a monkey that's bald. Like when the giraffe started looking at this bald monkey looking dude named Adam, and the cute one Eve, he said, I recognize this dude. He reminds me of the Creator. I recognize him. Who do people think of when they look at you? You ever heard somebody say, you're just like your mom? You're like, stop saying that. Your life reflects somebody. Jesus found this group of dudes and was like, hey, you remind me of your father, Satan. Jesus got them clapbacks, right? That was jacked up, Jesus. But Jesus just liked to keep it real. You reflect somebody. You're made in the image of God, so you should be imaging or reflecting God. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. What does that mean? There's that pastor thing again. But what does that mean? See, you're made in the image of God. So when people look at you, they should be seeing God. Like I said, you're good. You're not that good. Like, you're not God, obviously. But it's kind of like you're a sliver of him. You ever heard of the saying, a chip off the old block? Right? Very small chip. But still a chip nonetheless. But you say, I know where this came from. From that big one over there. I can tell. This is where it belongs. This belongs on that big block, this little chip. A reflection of God. But see, now this is where it starts to get interesting because see, that you guys know the difference between nouns and verbs, right? A noun is a person, place, or thing. Thank you. Thank you, Pictionary. I love Pictionary. Noun is a person, place, or thing. Abraham Lincoln is a noun. Jell-O is a noun. Mount Rushmore is a, or a location, but you know, it's a noun. It's a noun. It's a noun. It's a noun. Okay. Your shoes are a noun. And hey, they're looking pretty good, by the way, too. Okay. So, but running is a, and climbing is a, so image is a, apples to oranges. Okay. Look, let me change it. Imaging. Thank you. Very good. Pictionary. Okay. So when you live life, when you are being God's image, you are imaging or you are reflecting God's picture in the things you do. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's go back to the Bible. What does God tell them to do? He says, you made my image, so do something. What does he say? Ooh. I heard that. God blessed them. God said, be fruitful. Thank you. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds, all the animals, them giraffes. Eat some food. God said, I want you to enjoy life. So when you are enjoying your life, you are imaging God. When you're having a good time, when you're living life to the fullest, you're enjoying life, the life that God gave you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You're imaging God. You're reflecting God. Family. When family works right, be fruitful and multiply. God said family, when you are doing family well, when moms love dads and dads love kids and kids love moms and dads and brothers and sisters and the little doggy too, when you do that, that means that you're reflecting God. You look like how God looks when you do that. Then he uses these crazy words to fill the earth. When you make stuff that fill your world, you are looking like God. You know, you're not God, but you're reflecting him. When you subdue, when you learn, conquer, when you tame things, when you have dominion, when you lead, manage, and govern, you look like God. There's this crazy verse in Colossians 3:17, and it says that whatever you do, go put up there, whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord. A representative, that's a reflection, that's an image. Oh, give thanks to him through God the Father. Glorify God in those things. Okay. Now this, we're gonna shut this thing down in just a second. Okay, I know, I hope this is interesting. If not, I'm having a good time. Okay. So, what does he say? He says all these things, right, for you to do these things to look like him. What did he just do? What did God just do? Poof, created everything, right? Spent him 6 days, 6.5, because he spent the other half doing Adam and Eve, you know. But I'm sure it took at least half a day. So God created all these crazy things, and he took a mess, and he cleaned it all up. Right? In the beginning, the earth was void. It was no shape, no form. So God takes the mess and is like, yeah, let's do this. Like take a block of clay and make something cool. And then he says, guys, now I want you to do the same thing. Be fruitful, multiply, be blessed. Subdue, take dominion in your life. Everything you do has value. Why? Because you're important. You're important and you're important. You're important because God put a little piece of himself inside of you. So when you let that piece of God shine in your life, what do you do every day? Breathe. I like that. That's very important. Wake up. Oh, that's a good one. I'm glad you woke up. Eat. What did God say? Take that food and eat it. Ooh, that's good. I'm glad God told me to eat food. Think about it. You guys, okay, homework. Did you know that when you do your homework, you're imaging God? You're taking God's creation, all the things that he made, from mathematical equations to ecosystems to understanding the relationship between bases and acids to understanding what it means to put proper poetic rules into action, pentameter, all that kind of jazz, rhyming good words together. When you do your homework, you're learning and discovering the things that God's created, and you are glorifying him. Believe it or not, your worship can look a lot like homework. Because you are what? You're taming and governing. Cleaning your room. I know this seems really silly here, but think about it. When your folks tell you need to clean your room, it can actually be a way that you reflect the very nature of God. What did God do at creation? He took chaos without form and void, and he organized it, divided the oceans, called forth the mountains. And when you dive into that room and you take your clothes and you divide the clothes, the dirty from the clean, when you take that mountain of a bed and fold it, you find the void, all the lost Cheeto wrappers, the old the old moldy cups of milk and cereal you didn't finish because you know it's underneath their bed somewhere. And you organize it. It's like God in the first 5 days of creation. When you tame the dust bunnies and those weird little crawling things under your bed. No, maybe not. Never mind. If you're a quarterback, or if you're a quarterback, you're in charge of a team. Maybe you're on ASB. And when you gather your other teammates around and you give them direction, you say, do this. We're going to do this play. We're going to organize homecoming like this. When you say, let's get together and hold a meeting. When you say, you do this and you do this, you're doing exactly what God did. He spoke to things and they happened. You're creating. You're speaking. You're making things be in action. You're imaging God. When you respect your mom, who are you? You're just like Jesus honoring his parents. You're imaging God. When you see somebody that's hurt and you offer to pray for them, you are imaging God, because what does God do when he finds hurt people? He binds up their wounds and he speaks life to them. When you see people that are depressed and down, when you see people that want to commit suicide, when you see people that their only hope is getting high the next day, and you begin to give them the hope of the gospel, what happens? You reflect Jesus Christ, because you're speaking life into people whose hearts are dead on the inside of them. You are being just like Jesus. You're being just like God, who found a big wasteland and he spoke life into it, and the oceans rose and the mountains found their place, and everything that was in disorder all of a sudden found order. This is what happens when we reflect the goodness of God, because God made us to look like him. God made us that when people would see us, they wouldn't just see us, but they'd see somebody that's living like God. And whether it's homework, cleaning your room, whether it's going out and getting a job, whether it's taking care of your money, or whether it's feeding your dog, whether it's going and doing the best on the track field, or whether it's encouraging people, whether it's prophesying and speaking encouragement to the downcast, you are beginning to look like God, and that's what God created you to do. Just think about it. God created us to look like him. That's, if you're depressed, that's how you get out of it. You start acting like God created you to. You start reflecting God's goodness in your life. What are you good at? Do it. Everybody stand up in this place. We got 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes. I want you to find an old folk, find an adult, and we're going to go ahead and get into our three questions groups. 10 minutes, we'll get this thing done. Go ahead, find somebody. They got three questions for you.
What? I gotta keep track of time. That's my job as a time master.
Find a group.
You provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Provide the fire.